Go with me again to Zephaniah, chapter 3. And if you didn't mark it, I'll just say it's the fourth book from the end in the Old Testament. Zephaniah 3. This has happened before, but I received a letter from someone, and a scripture was written on the bottom of it. You know how you'll sign your name, and then sometimes you'll put a scripture on the bottom. Well, I received a letter, and somebody had put a scripture, and I turned to the scripture, and I read it, and it blessed me so much, the Lord laid it on my heart to bring a message from it. As soon as I read it, I knew I'm going to have to bring a message from this. It blessed me so much. The scripture was Zephaniah 3, verse 17. Zephaniah 3, 17 says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." That is the heart of the book of Zephaniah. That was Zephaniah's message to God's people. Now, tonight, I want to show us the book of Zephaniah. All right, I want us to have a reading overview. This may be a little different from normal, but I just want to give an overview of the book of Zephaniah. This is not a book that we would normally think of to turn to and read. But I want us to see that the message that we preach right now, the message that we preach today, this is the same message that all of God's preachers and all of God's prophets have preached from the beginning. It is still the same message. We're truly going to see this and enter into this. And all we have time to do, there's only three very short chapters. I think of Ruth as being a very short book. This one's a quarter of that or a half of that. Three very short chapters, but even so, we're just going to skim it very quickly. All of this deserves a deeper look. I thought about just staying in these ending verses that we read, but I believe the Lord has laid it on my heart for us to just see the book of Zephaniah. So that's what I want to do. We're going to have an overview, and I pray that the Spirit will bless the message in it to our hearts. I sincerely do. We are going to see Zephaniah declared the problem, and there's a problem in the world. There's a problem in this world, and he's going to tell us what it is. It's still the same problem. We're going to see the problem. We're going to see the remedy. He told us exactly what the remedy is. And that's why we're still preaching. There's a remedy. There's a problem. There's a remedy. And we're going to see that the remedy all hinges on Christ the Lord. It all hinges on Him. We're going to work our way to Zephaniah 3, verse 8. Zephaniah 3, verse 8, which says, "Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord." That's the title of this message. Therefore, wait ye upon me. We're going to see that our Lord was the only one who could do anything about this horrible condition we were in, that we are in, men and women are in. So let's get right into it, all right? Look with me, if you would, at chapter 1. Zephaniah 1, verse 1. He begins his message with the truth of man's sin and God's holy judgment against it. And that's where the message must start. If men and women don't hear this, they're not going to hear the horrible condition that they truly are in. They will be blind and they will be ignorant to the reality of their condition. Zephaniah 1:1, it says, "The word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord." That's what he said in the days of Noah. And he did. Well, he's saying that's what I'm going to do again. And he will. Verse 4, "I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place in the name of the Chemarims with the priests and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops and them that worship and that swear by the Lord and that swear by Malcolm. And them that are turned back from the Lord and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him." And that was the problem. I'm going to tell you what he just said. He said, "I'm going to destroy everything because they are swearing by the Lord and by Malcolm." That's what they're doing. Malcolm was the little g god of the Ammonites. They're swearing by both. They were worshiping the Lord and idols. And that's what men and women are doing today. That's what they are doing today in the name of worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, the true and living God. In the name of worshiping the Lord, they have their little man-made idols that they're adding to it. Adding to their worship. In the process of doing that, they are stealing the glory away from the Lord alone, and they are sharing it with something else. That's what is happening today. The glory alone is leaving him, and it's being shared. And God said, "I will not have it." And he's going to go on to say, "I'm a jealous God." And he says, "I'm going to destroy that wickedness from off the face of this earth." Verse 7, he said, "Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guests. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel," something other than the righteousness of Christ. If we read this with our spiritual eyes, if we approach God in any strange apparel other than the righteousness of Christ, it won't hold up. It won't stand. Verse 9, "In the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's house with violence and deceit. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be a noise of a cry from the fish gate, and an howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. Howl, ye inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the merchant people are cut down, and they that bear silver are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles, and punish the men that are settled on their lees." They're just sitting on their hind ends. You know, metaphorically, spiritually speaking, drunken with their wine. "That say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil." And I'm going to tell you, that is exactly what men and women are saying right now. The Lord's not going to do either one. That's what they're saying. He's not going to do anything one way or the other. This thing's just going to go and man's going to whatever. Verse 12. It shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Therefore, their goods shall become a booty, like treasure that pirates steal, stolen. And their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. That's the exact opposite of what the Lord said about his people. Verse 14, the great day of the Lord is near. Listen to Zephaniah as he's preaching, okay? Verse 14, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. He thinks he's mighty, but he's going to cry bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. How awful! How awful. You know, this is not being told anymore. You know how old-fashioned this is? Do you know how current this is? Do you know how relative this is? Zephaniah, I thought of Jeremiah while I was reading this. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet, just weeping with people, just crying over people. He was saying, listen, listen, you don't know what's coming. Be warned, be warned. Judgment is coming. This is a jealous God we're dealing with. This is a holy God we're dealing with. And his fierce wrath is going to come down on sin, and that's what we are. So chapter 2, he said, verse 1, gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired, before the decree bring forth, before the day passes the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Verse 3, he said, seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. That was Zephaniah's message. Seek ye the Lord. That was Isaiah's message. Seek ye the Lord. He said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call on him. Cry out to him while he is near. If I could just have a moment of honesty with everybody, I strongly encourage myself and every person here to cry out to the Lord and cry, Lord, I am seeking you. I am seeking mercy from you. Before that great day comes, I need your blood. I need your mercy. I'm serious. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. That is the message. Call on him while he's near. That's still the message today. Wrath is coming. Tell everybody you know. Wrath is coming. Do you know that only God's people will do that? You know that? I mean, you just plead with men and women up here. You're just pleading and just gut-wrenchingly crying, seek the Lord. And only God's people will receive a heart of faith to believe and cry out, Lord, I'm seeking. Only God's people will do that. This message goes out to everybody, but only God's people will receive an ear to hear. Sometimes we wonder, am I one of His own? Well, have I received an ear to hear? Only God's people will receive a heart to believe. Only God's people will cry like David did, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." He will say through His word, "Seek my face." And His people, all of them, will cry, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." I am coming to You, Lord. I am running to You. Say that in your heart to Him. I forsake my way. That's what Isaiah cried. Let the wicked forsake his way. And it's because my only hope is to be pardoned by You. Only God's people will receive a heart to do that. May that be us. Really, honestly, may we receive a heart to do this. Because He said in verse 3, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought His judgment. Seek righteousness." That's Christ. The righteousness of God. He is the righteousness of God, the end of the law for righteousness. He went on to say, "Seek meekness." That's Christ. He said, "Learn of me. I am meekness." Watch this. You ready? He went on to say, look at the end of verse 3. He said, "It may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." Now, buddy, that's the gospel. That is the gospel. He said, Zephaniah said, "This is bad. This is so bad. Cry out to Him, seek the Lord, run to Him. It may be that He may safely hide you in the rock. He may cover you there with His hands. He may hide you in the secret of His tabernacle." That means His body. That means His person. Your life, Zephaniah said, may end up being hid with Christ in God. How beautiful is that? How glorious? How wonderful? This is just a beautiful New Testament gospel message in the end of the Old Testament. Verse 3, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye... seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought His judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. Woe unto the inhabitants of the sea coast, the nation of the Kerethites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitant. And the sea coast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds and folds for flocks." He's saying, I'm going to do something for a particular people. Verse 7, "And the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed thereupon in the houses of Ashkelon. They shall lie down in the evening, for the Lord their God shall visit them and turn away their captivity." I'm going to do something glorious for a people. I'm going to give an inheritance to a particular people. Verse 8, "I've heard the reproach of Moab and the revelings of the children of Ammon, whereby they have reproached my people and magnified themselves against their border. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah, even the breeding of nettles and salt pits, and a perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. This shall they have for their pride, because they have reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Lord of hosts. The Lord will be terrible unto them, for he will famish all the gods of the earth, and men shall worship him, every one from his place, even all the isles of the heathen. What he's saying is, every knee is going to bow, whether in judgment or mercy. That's what he's saying. Every knee is going to bow to the Almighty, Sovereign God. Verse 12, ye Ethiopians also, you shall be slain by my sword. And he will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria, and will make Nineveh a desolation and dry like a wilderness. And flocks shall lie down in the midst of her, all the beasts of the nations, both the cormorant and the bittern, those are birds. They shall lodge in the upper lintels of it. Their voice shall sing in the windows. Desolation shall be in the thresholds, for he shall uncover the cedar work. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly, that said in her heart, I am, and there's none beside me. How is she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down in? Everyone that passeth by her shall hiss and wag his hand. I am, there's none beside me. Sin against God is everywhere. It's everywhere. And he said that's what is going to happen to every soul who rejects the true and living God, who has said, he said, I am, there is none beside me. But to every wicked soul who says in his sinful flesh, no, I am, there's none beside me. Psalm 14 says, the fool hath said in his heart, no, God. Men and women are saying that all over this world. To every soul, Zephaniah says in chapter 3, verse 1, woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice, she received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. They've just left the true and living God altogether, completely. Verse 5, the just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, that there is none inhabitant. I said, surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off. Howsoever I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings. Everything on this earth that does not bow the knee to this God is going to be destroyed. And but for the grace of God, so would we. So would we. If God did not have mercy on us, what he's saying is, you think, well, surely there's some good places on this earth. What he's saying is, the whole thing is corrupted. Isaiah 40 said, all the isles of the earth are nothing to him. They are reputed as nothing, less than nothing. The Lord looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did seek God and understand. There are none. They're all filthy. In verse 8, the Lord said, and here's the good news. Verse 8, he said, therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord. It's all ruined. Man ruined it. He said, my instruction went out to man and man wouldn't do it. He couldn't do it. He ruined it. But I've chosen a people. I've chosen a remnant to redeem and to restore. Therefore, he said in verse 8, wait ye upon me. That is the message. That has always been the message. That will always be the message. Wait on the Lord. Look to the Lord. Seek the Lord. He said, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to do something about it. And that is the hope and the glory of the gospel of Christ. In spite of us, he says, I'm going to do something about it. That's the same thing as the Apostle Paul writing, but God, but God. Wait ye upon the Lord. Seek him. Look to him. You know, all the people asked Moses, they were standing there at the Red Sea, and they were asking Moses, how are we going to get ourselves out of the mess that we got ourselves into? And Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Wait ye upon the Lord. David said, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He'll strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You ruined it. He'll fix it. Look to him. Run to him. Cry out to him. Verse 8. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. What he's saying is, I'm going to remove this wicked, sinful heart, and I'm going to put in a heart of flesh. I'm going to put in the heart of Christ, and they're going to turn to me, all of them. Verse 10, from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, all of them shall bring mine offering. They're all going to bring the offering that I provide for them. Verse 11, he said, in that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. He said, you did it too, just like everybody else did. But he said, in that day you're not going to be ashamed. He went on to say, for then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Who are the afflicted and poor people? That's us. That's the purged, the redeemed. Verse 13 says, the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, no more sin, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. I think of how our Lord is constantly calling us his sheep, his sheep. And he said that my sheep are going to eat, and they're going to lie down in a good fold, in a fat pasture. I'm going to give them rest. I'm going to lead them by waters of quietness. He said at the end of verse 13, they shall feed and lie down, none shall make them afraid. So here's the glorious announcement to God's people. Because of what he did for them, in hiding them through the anger of the Lord, through that fierce wrath on sin, and delivering them from the hand of the enemy and redeeming them to the fold of the kingdom. Verse 14, he said, sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy, the King of Israel. Even the Lord is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. I am so thankful to hear that our Lord said in that great day, he said, the gates of glory are going to be wide open. And sin will never be able to walk in. Never again. He said, you're not going to see evil anymore. Won't you rejoice in the day that you never see evil ever again? Verse 16 says, in that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thy hands be slack. That means faint. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. He chose you and loved you and gave himself for you. Verse 18, he said, I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they've been put to shame. He said, I'm going to gather every soul that has halted and been driven out. It reminds me of that song, Sinners the Lord Jesus will receive. And that's what Zephaniah is crying. Sound this word of grace to all who the heavenly pathway leave, all who linger in fear, and all who have fallen in their sin. Sing it over and over again. Christ receiveth sinful men. Make the message clear and plain. Christ receiveth sinful men and women. Verse 20. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. What he's saying is, the glory that the Father has given to me, I'm going to give it to you. And he said, you're going to see your captivity turned back. You're going to, with your eyes, see what I've done for you. And you're going to cry unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. What a glorious announcement that is. What a glorious message, a wonderful message. That is simply the declaration of what Christ has done for his sinful people. And after having declared that, I just thought about the fact that we just read the book. After declaring it, I thought, I don't want to add anything to it. I don't want to take anything from it. I want to say, amen. And we'll leave it right there. All right, Brother Dwight, you come.